following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us today on New Life Live. I'm your frequent moderator, Brian Perez. That's what AI called me. Just for kicks, I did an AI search of New Life Live and it said I was the frequent moderator. It was interesting. My name was there. A little later, I went on it again and it gave me some other title. So AI can't decide who I am, but that's okay. I don't need AI.
I know. Yeah, exactly. I don't dare look that up.
I forget what it said about you guys, but some of you weren't even listed. I think you two were, but there were a few names. I was like, wait a minute. They
should be on there.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, I've got clinical psychologist Dr. Jill Hubbard here, as well as licensed marriage and family therapist Chris Williams. And Jill, hi, what's on your mind?
Hello, guys. Good to be with you again.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking about heeding the warning and why we do not often heed warnings. Mm. Okay, what is it about us, right? I was reminded about the story of the Titanic. Love the movie, great epic story, but in real life, it was tragic, was so tragic. So I'm sure you're all aware that on the day that the Titanic went down, April 14th, 1912, they received throughout the day six or seven or more warnings from other ships. They received heavy pack ice, large icebergs, even 40 minutes before the ship went down. Stop, turn back, go the other direction. All these warnings were coming in while they were partying and they were having a grand old time. So what went wrong? Mm-hmm. Now, some of the messages did not get to the bridge where the captain was. And why was that? Well, there were other messages from passengers about the parties and the dining and their needs. And so the people fielding the messages were kind of overwhelmed and overloaded and had a hard time discerning the vital, important messages. And so you think about, okay, I think about this in our own lives. When do we not heed warnings that could avoid a huge disaster?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There are communication failures, the distractions. Sometimes we're overconfident. You know, this ship was not supposed to sink. They were overconfident in their position, right? The seriousness sometimes doesn't register, right? How does it not register for us? Now, the captain did slightly change course, but then I think he went off to bed. Like, how did this not register? And sometimes we're so invested in what we think is the outcome, right? Yeah. The glory moment when they come into port, that we miss all of the warning signals. Mm-hmm. And so what about if everyone around us, if everyone close to us is giving a similar message, why do we not listen? What is it in our lives? A relationship we know is wrong, but we hang on anyway. A habit we convince ourselves that we can control. Mm. A secret we hide, thinking if no one knows, it'll be okay. A minor lie that we justify. So I think about how many callers we have that call in and they're frustrated because their family members won't listen to them. But we all need to ask ourselves, what are we not hearing, right? What are we not listening to? And I think about, you know, just like the prophets of the Old Testament, nobody likes the messenger. Sometimes the message is really important, and so we need to stop and listen.
You know, I just think about all those proverbs that speak to man's folly versus God's wisdom.
Yes.
You know, his ways really are higher than mine. Mm-hmm. And it requires effort and focus, and it requires a muscle that's used over and over to tune into God, to tune into wisdom, and sometimes to tune into our own gut. That's telling us. And then we also need courage to sometimes fire our ego because our ego can kill us. And the ego took down many, many, many lives in one of the biggest tragedies. And it wasn't the first and it's not the last.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be back on New Life Live with Jim, Sally, and Maria.
Hi, it's Becky Brown, and I want to tell you about our upcoming webinar, From Pain to Peace. Have you ever experienced betrayal through a spouse, a partner, a parent or friend, or someone you deeply trusted? Betrayal cuts to the core, leaving emotional wounds that impact your identity, your relationships, and your faith. But you can heal. You can rebuild trust and regain your sense of safety and self-worth. This live event will walk you through the pain and into healing. It's hosted by myself, Becky Brown, and presented by licensed marriage and family therapist, Laura Manja McDonald. Laura will present for about an hour, and then we'll have a time of Q&A.
The From Pain to Peace Healing After Betrayal webinar is Thursday evening, February 26th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online to newlife.com. Break free from trauma and emotional confusion and take real steps towards restoration. 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Let's go to Denver, Colorado and speak with Sally. Welcome to New Life Live, Sally.
Hi there. See, my question to you is, I have a granddaughter who lives in Massachusetts. She's a real sweetheart. She's very intelligent. She's 14. She's good at whatever she does. She's in gymnastics. But here's the problem. She had to quit gymnastics there for a while, although she's back doing it again now. But she had to quit for a while because she has developed an autoimmune disease. Hmm. Her mother took her to Children's Hospital in Boston, and they put her on some medication, which is helping her. Now, here is leading into my question. Her mother had to, because Children's Hospital dismissed her, moved her to another med provider. For some reason, that med provider found out from my granddaughter that she had been contemplating suicide for years. Hmm. And of course, my daughter immediately took her to the emergency room. They put her into an intervention program, supposedly one of the best in Massachusetts, for 2 weeks. She has not talked to anyone about why or how she feels. She didn't talk to the people in the intervention program. My daughter has her in counseling now with a different provider, a different therapist. She won't talk. My daughter doesn't have any kind of a follow-up plan. I used to be really close to her. Of course, I live far away. It's difficult, but I am so frustrated because nothing is happening. Nobody can get her to open up. Mm-hmm. What do we do? How do we help this child? Because I don't know that this has actually been taken care of.
So she is not seeing a counselor right now, is that correct?
Yes. No, she is.
She is, okay. Yeah.
Yes. This counselor can't get anywhere with her either.
Yeah, this is tough. This is really tough. You know, and I was, you know, as you start out with autoimmune disease, 14 years old, the immediate response I have, and it's kind of guided by what I do for a living, is so much of the autoimmune conditions I see in people are driven by unresolved stress, trauma, internalized pain. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if there's suicidality or self-harm, we look at the same thing, internalized pain. And one of the most difficult and scary things is that what's the pain?
Right.
Especially if a person isn't opening up and talking about it. And here's a truth I know. And this may not be helpful, but I believe that this is a standard to start with. The body is desperate to reveal its truth. And it's terrified all at the same time. And it sounds like your granddaughter, her terror about what the truth is outweighing her desire to say what's going on. What the body needs more than anything else to tell its truth is the safest place on planet Earth to be able to do that. You know, and so I only say that to say, I like the course that you guys have been on, and I just think that this could take more time, and I would say stay the course. With that said, if there is for some reason why this therapist isn't working, you know, I would say give it a little bit of time. then look to switch therapists. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is not to say anything that the therapist is doing wrong. It's just that, you know, a person may be seeing me and I could be doing my best work and it just not work. Mm-hmm. But then they see Jill and they just feel safer with Jill for whatever reason. And it just opens up. Yeah. And it just opens up. And I think that that's what she needs. She needs this really, really safe place to explore what's going on. And at 14, she may not be fully aware or know either.
Right. She may not be ready completely. A lot of times, because kids are still in the mode of surviving their childhood. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times things will come out in the early 20s. But because of the suicidality, having her being, you know, observed and with someone makes a lot of sense. And so you've got to look at it more long term. And Sally, I know that's really hard because you guys just want her to be okay. Mm-hmm. And so you guys are anxious about this. And come on, tell us what it is. But Chris is right. She may not fully know what it is. She may not have full access to how she's really feeling. She just knows she doesn't feel good. And so someone who can be patient and just sit with her where she's at. You know, I have found if you push someone too hard beyond where they're at, you lose them.
Yeah.
And so you really have to sit. And sometimes it can seem like, "Guy, this doesn't seem significant mm-hmm. enough." But when you work on creating that space where she feels safe and where she feels connected and seen right where she's at, then all of a sudden it does start to come out eventually.
Well, and Jill, how many times have you, in your and I's experience, we're working with a client, we think we're doing good work, and then 6 months, 9 months into the process, they drop the bomb.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And you're like,
and
oh
we're
my
just
gosh.
Like, where was this day one? This would have been really helpful
right.
day one. Yeah.
Right. Right.
But they just weren't ready at that point. Mm-hmm. And we respect their readiness and as we respect their safety. But staying with it, I think, is really important.
Right. And so having the support systems there for her without pressuring her to tell us what's wrong, mm-hmm. I think is important. And certainly she's got a lot with the illness. And, you know, young people have all kinds of things going on. But mostly they want to be normal.
Yeah.
And so that's sometimes it's a reminder that they're not normal.
Well, back behind the scene here, there also seems to be a lot of performance-driven perfectionism.
Well, gymnastics.
Gymnastics,
yeah.
Great student. She's mm-hmm. she's a high achiever.
Yeah.
And the high achievers, one of the liabilities in many high achievers mm-hmm. is they feel like they have to achieve at these unreasonable levels just to be okay.
Yeah.
And anything less than that is intolerable. Mm-hmm. And again, I talk about this often, shame can get in the underbelly of that, meaning that yeah. you're not good enough. So anything less than perfection then means something bad about you.
Right.
And that is a torturous way to live life.
Right. So the therapy and non-pressured therapy and then other supports. Is she involved in mm-hmm. youth group? Mm-hmm. Does she have youth pastors that are supportive, that care about her? Enough people in her world where there's lots of eyes on her without her feeling like she's being watched.
Yeah.
Sally, what do you think?
Well, unfortunately, they were going to a church group, going to church, and it was working at first. The youth pastor's great. Mm-hmm. But it ended up where the youth just kind of ignored her, you know?
Hmm.
And she got tired of it. She plays drums, too, and she was playing drums in the church. They
wow.
let her play drums, but she loved that. She's very good at drums, too, by the way. And she loved that, you know, and that really helped. And my daughter was so excited that, you know, she could get her to go and... But now she has no interest in that church group at all. Doesn't want to go. Fights my daughter tooth and toenail. My daughter just gave up. She just won't
yeah.
force her to
yeah.
go.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to that point, there's something there that's not safe for her,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
so she needs to be around safer people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Sally, thank you for calling in today to New Life Live. Now we're going to go to Ventura, California, speak with Maria, who listens to us on KKLA. Hi, Maria. Welcome.
Yes, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Can you hear me? Good. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a granddaughter who is 12 years old right now, and she confided on her father, who is my son, that she was sexually molested by her older brother.
Hmm.
And she is a cutter. She has been cutting her arms since she was 9 years old that we noticed. Mm-hmm. We asked her mother, please take her to counseling. The mother didn't take us seriously. And that her father has been lost in the world. And recently just came back and is in a rehab program. And she has tried to take her life. She was in the hospital for 12 days. She had a major cut. She cut herself with a blade.
Mm.
And she was in the hospital for 12 days, 72-hour hold. She continues to go to counseling once a week. And her brother, and she has, my son has, she has another brother who's 3 years older. And he basically takes care of her as well. But they live with their grandfather. And the mother did not tell me she was in the hospital.
So your son your son and the mother are not married?
No.
Okay.
No. No, they're not. They were together, but...
They never married?
Very destructive. No, she was very destructive. She would destroy everything, so he left.
Hmm.
And my son told me... The question is, my son told me that she had confided in him about the situation with her brother and made him promise not to tell. She has been going to counseling. She was going 3 times a week. We took her all the time. And when I say we, it's my husband and I, her grandfather and I, and I helped pay for the sessions. And the mother tried to finish the sessions, and I spoke to the counselor. I said, no, please keep her, please keep her. So what I want to do, because Victoria has now cut her hair herself, very short. She's now considering herself to be gay. She doesn't want to be called her name. She doesn't want to talk to anyone. She stays in her room all the time. She does not speak to anyone. And her arms are so damaged, her skin, that you can see the cuts up to her, near her shoulder.
Mm.
And I truly want to speak up. And I'm afraid that her grandfather will kick them out of the house. My son will not talk to me.
Maria, let me jump in. Have these incidents been reported?
Mm-hmm. Where's the brother?
Where's CPS in this?
Well, she... Okay.
So it has not been reported. Is that correct?
She has not told the counselor. When I started to take her to counseling years ago, she must have been 10
okay.
Or 11.
Hold on. This is super important. So more important than the backstory. So right now, this is a girl who is endangered for her safety. And has been.
Yes.
Okay.
And the brother's still in the house?
Where's the brother right now?
Well, the brother is still in the house.
This is what's really important. So this has to be reported.
Okay.
There's no two ways about that.
You can report it anonymously,
yeah,
Maria.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't have to know it came from you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Her mother, when I was taking her to counseling when she was younger, her mother told her not to say things that happened at home to her counselor.
To the counselor?
And I...
Yeah.
Yes, and she told my granddaughter. I told the counselor what my granddaughter had told me. And I think it was too much for that counselor, so she transferred her to another better counselor, if you will. And right now, her grandfather took care of the older brother. The older brother, when he was 5 years old or 6, he asked my granddaughter, who's the same age. Another brother's 21. When he assaulted her, sexually, he was 16. She was 7 years old.
So Maria, what I'm trying to get to is, like, I am sure there is endless stories about how this little girl has been harmed.
Yeah.
And how she's harming herself as a result of that. I want to say this clearly, without putting too much shame or blame, everyone around her is failing her.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, the therapist failed her. Like, this not being reported and this not getting intervened and her still being in a very, very dangerous, harmful situation needs to be intervened as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maria, we're coming up to our break. We'll come back and speak with you a little bit longer here on New Life Live. Thank you for calling in today. And if everyone watching and listening can be in prayer for Maria's granddaughter over what she's going through and is still going through. We'll be back.
Here at New Life, we want you to have transformation. And so we have created the New Life courses, and you meet weekly on Zoom with a coach or a counselor. You're going to have teaching as well as that group connection, because we know how powerful that is. We hear that all the time about our intensives, that they love the information, but the group process is so powerful. And many of you have been hesitant to participate because you're not sure, you know, the timing, the price. The New Life courses are going to meet you right at that area of need. Every week, you're meeting on Zoom with that therapist. You're going over the concepts as well as connecting as a group. It is so powerful, and it's accessible. Wherever you are, you're going to be able to join us.
Begin your transformation January 29th with a New Life course. Lose it for life, take your life back, or healing is a choice. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
And back to Maria. Are you still with us, Maria?
Yes.
Maria, everything you've described to us with your granddaughter is a cry for help. Look, she doesn't even want to be herself anymore, so she's changing who she is. This is not, as we've said, this requires people to step in. I don't hear anything about the brother getting any help for molesting his sister, and mom is trying to keep it secret and not protecting this little girl. And here she is right under your guys' noses, right? Cutting herself and being very destructive. And already she's psychically killing herself off. Right? Changing who you are.
And coming close physically as
well. Yeah, and coming close physically. Right? So you have to get other people involved. I'm really surprised this hasn't been reported already. But if mom's... Well, go ahead.
I wanted to.
Yeah.
And her mother told me, this is why I don't tell you anything, because you go straight to the police. Mm. And I wanted to, and I still want to. I told her mother, please, support her. Her grandfather told her mother, because her mother told her grandfather, who lives and owns the home, he told her, do not do anything. Get more information. And I told her, you know, her son is not going to admit it. And if you don't confront him, he's not going to say a thing. And your daughter needs counseling. And her grandfather has never cared for my grandchildren. And when I say mine, he doesn't consider my grandchildren his grandchildren. So now that he knows that we know what his first grandson did, because he's his stepbrother, he takes her to counseling. We no longer take her to counseling like we used to, because now the grandfather has stepped in to take over.
Okay, so this is, Maria, this is all the more. We can go on down the line about how the dysfunction of the adults is showing up.
Yes.
But it still remains. This little girl's life is in danger.
Yeah.
Right now.
Question. What if she is, and I know, and I have, I talked to her, I told her, what if I do, which I will, take it a step further, and she denies it.
Then you've done what you can.
But you're getting the paper trail in place.
Okay.
Right? And they know enough. I mean, the cutting, all the symptoms
there's
she's
plenty
exhibiting.
Of physical evidence. Yeah.
Yeah. They will see it.
Okay.
They're trained that way.
Okay.
Okay. And the other thing is, I wish you could have your granddaughter at your house.
Yeah.
Or just even over for visits.
Yeah.
And not to dig in and talk about things, but just to create a safe environment for her.
Yeah.
She needs to feel like there are adults that will protect her.
Mm-hmm. I think so often we, and I'm not saying anything against Maria, but we start thinking, well, what if granddaughter denies everything?
Then, right.
And we can't be living like that with the what ifs.
Because then we do nothing.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to ward off the what ifs. And you have to just do what is right.
Well, and you can probably pick up the urgency in my voice. That's it. This is a life-threatening situation.
Yeah.
We do everything we can.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of things that we can't, but passivity only keeps the lethality going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Maria, thank you for calling in today to New Life Live. Now let's go up to Philadelphia. Here is Honesty, listening on Sirius XM Channel 131. Thanks for calling in today.
Hello.
Hi, how
Hello.
Can we help you?
Yes, please tell me. I don't know how to deal with a teenager who is still in high school, that is 18. I guess he's an adult. I don't want to be ungrateful in a sense that he's doing well at school and he's well behaved outside. The problem is with me here at home. The talking back, doesn't recognize what I do. The struggle about the detachment. He in his room all the time. He will only talk to me when he needs something. Other than that, I don't exist. I'm not important. It's a total detachment. Even sitting in the living room with me, he just need to be far away. And things that he says sometimes, it's like, as a single mom, I struggle to raise him by myself.
Yeah.
And listening to some of those things, sometimes I'm like, what is this? What did I do wrong? Where did I fail? For someone who just detach and we reject everything that I can tell him, constantly just reject. It's the struggle. I'm really struggling.
Yeah. Honesty, let me just first say, he's still in high school, so therefore he's really not an adult yet, even though 18, yes, but still in high school, okay? You're a single mom. Is his dad involved with him at all?
At all, nothing.
Nothing.
Not in a picture.
Okay.
How long have you been a single mom?
17 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, and with no father involvement, your son is getting to the age where all of the good that you have done for him, he has taken in. And so he's at the age where I'm sad his father isn't involved, because he does need male people to look to and to emulate. And the problem with us moms, and I was a single mom for years, is that we make our kids feel young. And he's trying to feel like a man and to figure that out. Not okay that the way he talks to you or any disrespect, but at the same time, he's pushing against those younger feelings and trying to stand on his own a bit more.
We'll be right back.
We've been married 33 years. We attended the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. Even though we've read books or attended a few other marriage weekends, this was certainly different and a lot more intensive than initially that we thought.
When you come to Intimacy in Marriage, you're going to be immersed into a 3-day process.
Was not really sure exactly what to expect, but the idea of learning to really understand intimacy was intriguing. We had been in the same patterns of struggle over and over again.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is February 13th to the 15th in Orange County, California. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I would highly recommend it.
There's a place where real healing begins, where truth meets grace, and where transformation starts. New Life Recovery Groups offers a Christ-centered, supportive community for growth, healing, and restoration. Built on a proven 12-step foundation and grounded in biblical truth, these groups help bring clarity, accountability, and lasting hope for those who are ready for change. And when deeper personal guidance is needed, one-on-one coaching and counseling are available, walking with you every step of the way. Here, lives are renewed, stories are rewritten, and hope is restored. You're not alone. You're not judged. You're welcomed into a community that believes God is still at work in your story. Take the next step toward healing. Join a New Life Recovery Group today, online or in person. Visit newlife.com/groups or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find healing, find community, find new life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Honesty, thanks for holding through the break. What else did you guys want to say to her?
Yeah.
Well, I think honesty, you know, there's probably a lot more underneath this, but part of my response, which may not be very helpful, is welcome to 18.
I know.
Deep breath. I think one of the...
At least he's doing well in school.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's doing well in school. It's so painful, but for me, I don't exist.
I know.
He can't be away from me.
Yeah, but... let me jump in. Honesty, notice what's just happening inside of you. His behavior is determining your well-being.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. As parents, especially as moms with boys, they will affect you. But he's not affecting you. He's determining you. And this is an indication, which is very natural. Don't hear that you've done anything wrong. Hear that there is something new to do. What's happened is that he has sort of become your life and your well-being. And he knows that he's trying to split away from that and become his own person. The best thing that you can do, there's two things. The first thing is this. He's going to be fine and you're going to be fine. And your relationship will come back and it will repair. And you got to play the long game, not the short game here. The other thing that I want you to do is I want you to build more relationship in your life outside of him. And I talk about this with my own mom and my own stepdad as well. One of the best things that they have done for us, and this is going to sound condescending, it's not meant to be, there's a truth here. The best thing that they have done is build their own life.
Mm-hmm.
Their well-being is not dependent upon my failure or success, or sometimes my relational behavior that can be, you know, I look back in my younger years and I'm like, oh, I was a total punk at times. And I regret some of the ways that I treated my mom or my parents. But the key factor is if I felt like how I treated them was going to determine their well-being, then that's just too much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's too overwhelming. They don't want to be responsible for us.
And they will push back even stronger,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there's a balance to be achieved here, and that is, hey, I don't like the way my son is treating me. I want to let him know.
Yeah.
And I can't expect him treating me better for that to be determined, for me to be determined for my okayness. I'll spit it out here once. Yeah.
Well, right. And it's really hard as a single mom, I know, because you don't have a relationship that you're investing in.
Mm-hmm.
So you totally invest in your kids.
Yeah.
And so then if that's not going well, oh, it feels really bad.
Yeah.
Right? Like here, I've done all this investment.
It's like the whole world's falling apart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I think, too, and then the tendency is we want something from them, and so we try to get it in different kinds of ways. And we women, we tend to nag and pick to try to point out the things that are wrong, hoping that the person will then fix them and we'll all feel better. So you have to see that that's really for you, and you're looking perhaps to your son, like Chris was saying, to make you feel okay. And that's what you've got to get from other people. And as you become less naggy and needy, right, and your son sees you doing things for yourself, it gives him more room to breathe in this relationship. And it is true, as they get older, as their brain comes online, I was just telling Chris, my son's brain, I can just see it's starting to come online.
It's getting there.
Right?
It's getting there.
And they start to recognize, you know, that maybe they really didn't know it all mm-hmm. back then. But your son is still in that stage where he's trying to puff himself up and he feels perhaps burdened by your needs. And I hate to say that to you, Honesty, but I think it's important that you hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think, everything you said, I did need to definitely develop friendship also around him. But I found him kind of cold or mean because sometimes I cry and he's not emotional at all. Mm-hmm. And I see other kids, they can hug their mom after a sport.
Yeah.
And he won't hurt me. I don't know. Other kids, why are they able to hurt their mom outside and this one won't? So
yeah, and that's hard. And I agree. He's not allowed to treat you meanly. And that's where, you know, you have to have those
stronger boundaries. Yeah.
Yeah, with him. And to tell him. I flat out tell my son when he's mean, you know, that was really mean. But I also I realize I wanted something from you that you didn't have to give me. And I'm mm-hmm. sorry. So I will own my part. And also say, but it's not okay for you to talk to me that way.
Yeah.
And it's our responsibility, Honesty. You know, we're training them to be men to then relate to hopefully a wife someday.
Yeah.
And so we can't, mm-hmm. right? We're responsible to God. We can't allow that. And so we have to have honest conversations mm-hmm. with them. But take it from a non-emotional place. Your son doesn't do emotion well, so then don't get all teary and weepy with him and try to appeal to him that way. Have a more level, mm-hmm. you know, steady adult-to-adult relationship or talk with
him. Is he your only child?
He's the only child, and before I could take the phone away or take things away, but now he's on. What do I take away? I can take a toy away in the past, but now what do I do? What do you take away from someone to get someone attention?
Well, you don't wait on them, for one thing.
And I would also just really, really encourage you to start exploring boundaries. You know, get online, get the book Boundaries in there. I believe there's Boundaries with Children.
Boundaries with Teens is a great one.
Yeah, Boundaries mm-hmm. with Teens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that will help you be a guide for you to take these action steps mm-hmm. to have those, like you're saying, Jill, honest conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, and you can't speak to me that way. And if you do, here's what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we're establishing new ground rules of respect.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're, you know, totally doting on him all the time, doing his laundry, feeding him, doing everything for him, and he's treating you disrespectfully, well, then you need to pull back,
mm-hmm.
right? Because at a certain age, once he's out of high school, it's a privilege to live at home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Honesty, thanks for your phone call today here on New Life Live. And the book we recommend, Boundaries for Teens. There's also Boundaries for adults, for everyone else. Check those out. Thanks for calling in today to New Life Live. And let me talk to the ladies for a minute about Restore. That's our weekend workshop for women who have been wounded by sexual betrayal, women who have a desperate desire to move forward but don't know how. Now, who should attend? Well, you should. If you're drowning in shame that isn't even yours to carry, tired of feeling crazy, insecure, or not good enough, questioning everything you thought you knew about yourself and your relationship, struggling with triggers that make normal life feel impossible. Without intervention, betrayal trauma erodes relationships, your ability to trust yourself, and your faith that God has a good plan for your life. And we can help you. Ladies, if betrayal is part of your story, find out more about Restore at newlife.com. And if finances are an issue, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about our need-based scholarships. The next Restore is happening at the end of, at the beginning of March. And we would love for you to be there. Again, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or visit newlife.com. Let's talk to Jim, who is listening to us on WBYN in Springfield, Pennsylvania. Hey, Jim, welcome to New Life Live.
Hi. Do I need to take the speakerphone off?
You sound fine right now, whatever you're doing. So if anything changes, we'll let you know.
Oh, good. Thanks. Thank you all for paying some attention to me. Mm-hmm. I had an experience the night that the last of the snow and the ice rain and everything went away.
Okay.
And I had been intensely preparing for this storm for better part of a week.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had a lot of things I had to do to prepare and whatnot. And then I intensely was dealing with the storm. And I even drove that day that hardly anybody was on the road, because I got my car in condition where I could do that. But here's the thing. I went to bed probably within about a half an hour after I went inside my hotel room, and it was about 11 o'clock I went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I got like 7.5 hours, something like that, and I woke up at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really intensely tired, but I did get a good sleep.
Okay. Stay on the phone. We've got to take a break. It's one of those cliffhangers that'll keep people listening through the break. So stay right where you are, Jim, and then we'll continue hearing your story when we come back here on New Life Live. I'm Brian Perez here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams. And Jim, we'll come back to you when we come back here on New Life Live.
My husband addicted to pornography for the majority of our marriage. I was very isolated and didn't really know which way to turn.
If you've been affected by betrayal, an emotional or physical affair, or pornography, the Restore Intensive will equip you with support and tools to help you through.
I went to the Restore Conference, which seemed to be the missing puzzle piece where I was able to find my voice.
When two people want to do their part, we can be restored. But if they don't, we are not stuck because someone else made a decision. God lets us weigh in on how we want to walk out our lives.
The Restore Intensive is coming to Dallas, Texas, March 6th to the 8th. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
I'm navigating my world now. It feels so wonderful. I had a great experience at Restore.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be
is.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, Jim, you still with us?
Yes, I'm ready to release my the results of my cliffhanger.
Okay, yes.
We're waiting with bated breath. Here we go, man.
We've been speculating. Let's hear it.
All right, 6:30 in the morning, I'm looking at the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing an ordinary of the ceiling, just plain white thin paint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's in a hotel room. Okay, so I'm looking up there, and in clear cursive, and appears to be my cursive when I'm very extremely careful and want to make my writing very clear. Okay, and it's very tiny. But it's very distinctly. It looked like maybe one or two inches on the ceiling, and I could clearly see each word in the most beautiful penmanship. And it said, "I love you." And I'm thinking, oh, I know what that is. Somebody wrote that up there for somebody when they rented the room.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
Some kind of speculationship, okay. But so I either closed my eyes or looked away, and then I looked back at the ceiling. It's no longer up there. So now I'm wrong. No, you know, my hypothesis is wrong. Okay, so now that's me and somebody else. It seemed like, now could that be God, the Holy Spirit communicating with me?
Hmm.
Somehow through my writing, he's familiar with my writing or whatever.
Okay.
And he's saying, "I love you," or is that me saying that to God?
What do you guys think?
Hmm.
You have any other ideas?
Well, I'm just curious, Jim. Why a hotel room during the storm? What's your living situation?
I needed the hotel room because I don't have sufficient heat in my apartment.
Okay.
I have these space heaters, and it's just getting too cold.
Yeah.
And okay. do you live alone?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a fiance, Susan, in the nursing home that,
okay.
that I'm madly in love with, and she's in madly in love with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take a shot here because let me just preface it by saying
I'm 74 years old and I never experienced anything quite like this before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take a shot in the dark. First off by saying, I don't know. That's my first answer. My second mm-hmm. answer is, man, that's just consistent with God's message to us.
Yeah. Mm. It's like a nice thing.
It's just, you know, When we look at like a prayer that Paul has in Ephesians chapter mm-hmm. 3, that we may know how wide and long and high and vast is the love of God, and to be filled with the fullness of that love, you know, is that there's so many things in life that are going to strip us of our confidence or our security, of our assuredness. There's so many things that can disrupt us. Obviously, you know, we experience that here on the radio show. I go into an office every day where I'm hearing about the things that diminish us as human beings, and especially other human beings that mm-hmm. diminish us along the way. And that I do believe audaciously and wholeheartedly that God is continually and unendingly contending for our love.
Mm-hmm.
And not just for his own sake, but for our sake, that we may be filled to the fullness of God, that we may receive that message and it be a truth that is our organizing principle and that guides our life. So in things like this, where we say, hey, was it an imagined thing? Is it a hallucination? Is it, what's the interpretation of this? And I'm like, well, let's just go with the obvious. God loves you.
Right. Right. And, you know, God nudges our hearts. He speaks to us in our minds. So even if it's through your mind's eye, Jim, maybe it's what you needed to hear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and it doesn't contradict Scripture. It goes right along with it.
Well, and especially...
You all don't know me that much. So, you know, you're not going to be inclined to say that it's me saying I love God. But maybe it was both.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's a mutual exchange.
Yes, because that's kind of how love works.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, besides your fiance, who else do you have in your life?
Oh, I have a lot of people. I'm a lay evangelist. John Paul II was calling for lay Catholics to get involved because we've lost a lot of people in America.
Yeah.
So he opened up an opportunity to do a lay evangelist work. And so I've been working, you know, pretty much full time during COVID and all that that went on, because I couldn't see my fiance because they locked down the nursing.
You know,
so I did it full time. I said, this is, I'm ready to go spread the gospel. Okay.
Wonderful.
But do you have close relationships with people? You could have a lot of people in your life, but do you have close relationships with people?
I have some, yes. I have a man named Paul. He's a brother in Christ.
Okay.
When I talk to him, we don't think the same way politically. we're direct opposites. But so you know, but he tolerates me, and I tolerate him. You know, so we communicate a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have other people too that I probably can't think of right now because
My
mind, you know, it's 74 years old. You know, I'm slow to begin with anyway, despite my age. So, you know, I'm slow to, you know, come up with names and stuff. And my recognition memory is a lot better than my functional memory.
No, that's fine. Yeah. The only reason I was asking, and I wasn't asking for names or anything necessarily, but just some of the things that you said, like you've got this fiance who's in a nursing home. Sounds like she's been in it for a few years now, because if this goes back to the COVID years. And then the first words that you said to us when we picked up the line was something like, thank you for paying attention to me or something. So we were just wondering if there were people in your life that you have relationship with.
But yeah, at every stage, we need the people that we can love and feel loved by. But first and foremost, God.
Yeah. Well, and Jim, I just find you, you know, you said we don't know you that well, but
no,
from
but
what
you seem
I
delightful.
Do, yeah, I was gonna say, but from what I do know of you in our time together, is that you are an incredibly likable guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I hope that you allow other people the permission to like you and to enjoy life with them. And I think one of the things that we got to be careful with in ministry, and maybe this is probably not for you, Jim. Maybe this is for the rest of us, and that is, working for God and being loved by God are two different experiences. And there are so many times we fall in the trap of that subtle trap of earning God's love through our goodness, our good works, or our good deeds. And I know I can get trapped in that. And I think it's so important that we look at the motives of the heart. We ask God to examine us, and we ask God's love to guide us, in that our goodness is the byproduct, you know, not that we're not participating in it, but it says, don't grow weary in doing good, as it says in Galatians. Mm-hmm. Is that not growing weary in doing good? It's that we are receiving goodness from God all the time and goodness from others.
And I love that experience that you had. Hold on to that. It's a good thing.
For sure. And to your interpretation, Jim, it is mutual, because you do love God.
Jim, thanks for calling in today to New Life Live. And when you give to New Life, your generosity helps people like Jim and Sally, Maria, Honesty, Holly, Charity, Marilyn, Patty, Felice, David. These are just some of the people that we helped this week so far here on New Life Live, and we'll be here again tomorrow. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for watching and for listening. And don't forget to follow us on social media. Our website is newlife.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.